Hi, I'm Elena Aguilar, and welcome to the Bright Morning Podcast. All right, folks, welcome to this episode. Now, this episode is a take two of the original episode, which was focused on establishing a coaching program in a district. Now, here's what happened, because I know we've gotten a lot of emails from you, from our listeners, wondering, hey, I saw the link to this episode, and then I went and it wasn't there yet. Well, the original episode was a coaching conversation, and we had a guest who was anonymous and understood that the episode would be aired with her being anonymous, and she was. It was anonymous. And what happened was when it came out, she kind of got cold feet about the conversation being out there and just wondering what other folks might think or hear if they knew who she was. And so she asked us to take it down, which we did. So this episode is in place of that, and it's going to be a little different. I know that there are so many of you out there, especially in the beginning of the school year, thinking about how to roll out a coaching program or maybe refine one. And this is something around which I have done consulting work for many years now. I actually love doing this kind of work, helping people set up the foundation and the bones and the structures and the systems so that coaching can work, because I've spent a lot of time training coaches and then they go back into the systems which are fragile or undeveloped or unclear or even problematic, and they struggle and they feel sad and they feel angry because they feel like, hey, I've got all these great coaching strategies and I can't actually use them because there's this systemic breakdown or ineffectiveness. And so I love working with district leaders, organizational leaders on establishing a coaching program. And this is actually something that has been on my mind in terms of an offering in Bright Morning, something we are considering offering in 2022 as a kind of workshop ongoing or PLC for organizational leaders to think about how to roll out a coaching program. I'm naming that because if you're really interested in this, shoot me an email, let me know somehow so that we've got you on our radar. We're debating this. All right, let me get into this topic. How do you set up a coaching program? So start at the end. Backwards plan, start at the end. What are you trying to do? What is the vision for the coaching program? What problems do you, and when I say you right now, I'm speaking plurally, like you and the leaders in your district or you and your team, what problems do you want coaching to solve for? What's the purpose? What is the data that makes you think there's a need for coaching? What do you want it to do? Start at the end. This is where any good program or initiative starts. Start at the end. What is its purpose? And as you begin exploring purpose, you'll probably need to get more specific. In general, most places where I have worked and where I've seen coaching programs, the purpose is stated as something like to improve teaching so that children learn more, learn better, have different experiences. But you're going to need to get more specific. It's fine to start with something as broad as that, but then you need to get more specific. What specifically needs to happen differently for children? Or what are the specific experiences or outcomes for kids that need to change? Are you looking at data that indicates that students are not prepared for college and career? Are you looking at data indicating that students don't feel welcome at school, don't feel valued, heard, seen, loved, cared for. What is the data that is pointing to the need for changes in teacher practice? And these are connected. So you could also be saying, look, we have incredibly high turnover rates in our district. We can't seem to retain teachers. Or more specifically, we are an independent school, a high school, and we really struggle to retain math, science, and foreign language teachers. You could be really specific. Or you could say we are a charter network and we see that we have a really hard time recruiting and retaining African-American students. And that's a demographic group that we want to have deeper connections with, better relationships with, and be in better service of. So get broad and then get specific about what is this coaching program trying to do? Perhaps, one more example, perhaps you work in a place where you get a lot of teachers who come into the profession sort of prepared, sort of unprepared, and you recognize, wait, we need to have a more intensive period of supporting them once they're in the classroom. That induction period, as it's called in some places. What is the need? What is the purpose of coaching? A lot of the problems I see with coaching programs not working is that there's no specificity. And they're sort of like, well, coaching is, I don't know, people are doing it. It's supposed to be good. It's going to help teachers. It's going to make them feel good. That kind of vagueness and ambiguity will sink a coaching program. Because what that does is it sets up, well, okay, it sets up people to have really unclear and divergent expectations of coaching and coaches. And so that is where things fall apart, where a teacher thinks, you know, isn't coaching just for people who aren't doing well, who are really struggling, who are about to get fired? And the coach thinks, I'm here to coach behaviors and beliefs and ways of being and to cultivate resilience. And do you hear how there's such a big mismatch in understanding and expectations? And then the school principal thinks, well, we have coaches so that they can help me figure out who's not doing well so I can move them along. And right, everybody's got these different understandings. So the first step, figure out what the purpose is. What's the data that is indicating that purpose? And then make sure that there is a very clear definition of coaching. That's part one. Part two of that definition of coaching will be how it is shared, with whom it is shared, how there is clarity on what that means. But you got to know what coaching is. You have to have a definition, right? So I always say coaching is a form of professional development. It is a form of professional development. So the next piece here connected to that is to identify how coaching as a form of professional development fits into the bigger PD plan. Coaching has to fit somewhere. If you just throw it in or lop it onto everything else, it's going to be disjointed, floaty, and less impactful. Not that, you know, so some of you who are listening, you're like, she's describing the kind of coaching program we've had for years. You know, it can still have elements of impact. Teachers could feel held, supported, listened to by coaches. There could be some good learning going on. However, I'm really interested in broad, deep impact, in strategic, systemic impact. We just don't have the time to waste. We don't have the money to waste. Our kids need a different experience, different outcomes in the overwhelming majority of our schools. Coaching can contribute tremendously to that. There is research, there is data. You can find that in my books. You can find that in the resources that are linked. By the way, look at the show notes. There are some links to additional resources for you to use. Coaching can do that when it's done well. So I'm really interested in getting super precise, strategic, intentional, and like really tightly aligned and clear. So maybe you've had coaching for some years. And one of the questions I would ask you, one of the questions that I always ask and that we get to when we're developing a coaching program is, how do you evaluate the impact of coaching? What are you looking for? How do you assess whether coaching as a program is working? Yes, I also want to talk about how we evaluate coaches. How do we assess the impact of a coach? How do we evaluate their work? That is another important conversation, really important. And it is connected to how do we evaluate the coaching program? How do we know it's worth spending this much money on it? For example, if we were to start asking that question, looking at some specific indicators of possible impact and collecting data, we would, again, I think, see tremendous changes in how coaching programs are implemented and on the impact they would have. All right, so going back, I sort of started off this, like, coaching has to fit into a broader plan for PD. You have to figure out what is the overarching, what is the scope and sequence for PD? What are the different structures through which people will be learning? Those structures need to be strategically aligned. For example, a very common structure for PD is that whole staff Wednesday afternoon sessions, right? Or Friday afternoon or whatever it is. You know, that weekly thing or bi-weekly, bi-monthly thing that happens. Some schools, some places have professional learning communities, PLCs, where those in that PLC might use an inquiry cycle or something. What are all the different structures? Then there's that beginning of the year, 2 or 3 day training. There's the occasional conference that people go to. In so many places, these are haphazard. They're scattered. They're not connected, or they're poorly connected. I want to remind you, hopefully this is a reminder, of research by Linda Darling Hammond. This is quoted in The Art of Coaching. And Linda Darling Hammond, a very well-known, well-reputed educational researcher, author, says that in order for any teacher to acquire a skill which will positively impact student learning, that teacher needs to have 50 hours of professional development in that skill set. Okay, 50 hours of PD for a teacher to master a skill set so that it will have a positive impact on student learning. That is a daunting number, because think about the PD that either you experienced as a teacher or that you offered, that you facilitated. And think, for example, when I think about the PD that I received as a teacher or the PD that I gave in the first 2 years when I was a full-time instructional coach, it was 2 hours on this and 3 hours on that and a little sprinkling of this, because there was a contingency in the school that really insisted that we have a little bit of PD on that. And then it flopped all around. And I'm so confident, sadly, in saying that there was very little, if any, impact on student learning as a result of that PD. So how do we measure the impact of PD? How do we evaluate it? I know I'm opening up a whole bunch of things, maybe some cans of worms, maybe. Yes, this is what we need to do, actually, if we want to transform our schools, is open up some cans of worms and talk about the interconnectedness of all of these systems and structures and where they are working and where they are not working and where we have been in denial of how they are not working for so long, maybe because we just haven't had the time to slow down and look at all of this, or maybe because we haven't prioritized the time or insisted that we make the time or made the time to slow down and say, how is this actually working? We do things often because we've been doing them for so long, or someone's been doing them for so long, or they have been done for so long. But when do we actually slow down and say, hey, is this working? How is this working? Okay, let me get back. I'm just going to give you a few more elements because clearly I could talk for hours on this topic. It is, as I said, one that I really love to talk about and unpack and explore. So if you're setting up a coaching model, a coaching program, you've got to choose a coaching model. Now, that is a term that references a whole set of philosophies, theoretical underpinnings, strategies. What is the approach that your coaching program will take? What are you going to coach people on? The kind of coaching that I have developed, my coaching model, is transformational coaching. In a transformational coaching model, this is a holistic approach. We coach around behaviors, beliefs, and ways of being. We address emotions. We include a conversation about emotions. There are a lengthy list of principles and values from which a transformational coach works. You got to be really clear on what those are when you are asking people to coach, when you are telling people, hey, you've got a coach this year, when you are partnering with coaches. What is the approach? What are they doing? How are they doing it? What are they focused on? Who is the expert? What is most valued in a coaching practice? I can go on and on and on there. All right. You got to determine program goals. You've got to be really clear about who you're hiring, what constitutes an effective coach, what is the baseline criteria with which coaches need to come in, what are they going to be expected to do. There's some really important considerations around confidentiality and communication. That's another pit hole I often see, where there is a lack of agreement about what is confidential or just a lack of clarity. And then there does, connected to confidentiality, there does need to be clarity on what is communicated to whom and how. So what is communicated from a coach about a teacher to a principal? A principal is absolutely justified in asking that question. There needs to be clarity. There needs to be answers to those questions, and everybody needs to understand what those are. So now I'm pointing at perhaps some very basic notions around communication, what is effective communication, but this really comes up in coaching. Now, finally, I just want to name as my last thing that I want to point to here around how to establish a coaching program: coaches need professional development. I want you to think about how you evaluate coaches, absolutely essential. And perhaps before evaluation, you have to think about how you are building coaches. How are you developing them? And then how do you hold them accountable to a performance? But how are you developing them? Let's come back to Linda Darling Hammond's injunction, 50 hours. I bet if we could do the same kind of research on coaches, we'd come up with something similar. Coaches probably need 50 hours of professional development in order to have a meaningful impact on teachers in one skill set. So 50 hours of professional development, by the way, doesn't have to be sit and get, listen to an expert. In fact, we know that that's not really effective PD. Coaching is a form of professional development. So let's just jump back to teachers. for teachers to get their 50 hours, those can include coaching hours. Just naming that there. So coming back to coaches need PD, perhaps coaches need 50 hours of PD in something like how to help a teacher explore and shift beliefs. Especially if you've got a lens around equity, they're going to need that coaching around beliefs. We all need and deserve coaching around our beliefs. 50 hours of PD. Those can also be met, those hours, through practicing with each other and getting feedback. Really critical. Practice alone isn't enough. Practice has to include feedback. Otherwise, we just keep practicing ineffective strategies and strengthening our ability to be ineffective, ironically, right? So practice with feedback, lots and lots of hours, guided feedback, with opportunities to see modeling by experts, by people who are really skilled, using a tool like the transformational coaching rubric that I have in the Art of Coaching or in Coaching for Equity, in the Art of Coaching workbook. Those rubrics are there. You've got to use some kind of tool. We know this about teaching kids. We know this about teaching teachers. Coaches need some kind of rubric, some kind of articulation of the criteria of being effective. And then, yes, there has to be accountability, PD, support, practice, guidance, and accountability. And then we've got to look at how the whole program is working. Ooh, okay, I'm kind of on fire about this today just because... If we could get the structures right, so much more would fall into place. So again, if you're listening and you're like, yeah, I want more of this, I really want to hear from you because I am really playing around with what am I going to do in 2022? What are we going to do in Bright Morning? What are the offerings? And what would it look like to support more of you consistently over a period of 6 or 9 months to build coaching programs that work? Where you see the results you want to see, where we have an impact on children and on their learning and on their experience, and where we are strategic about how we engage folks and utilize resources so that we can create the kind of schools in which every child thrives every day. We can do that. It's really a matter of us getting our ducks in a row and our structure set up and our systems working and our people trained. We really can. Check out the show notes for links to further resources. I hope that was helpful, folks. Have a wonderful day.